Welcome to the Watchman Channel. This channel is all about world news and Bible prophecy, pointing to the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am asking that if you can, to please help to financially support this ministry. If you feel led to pledge any amount of money, it would be extremely helpful and greatly appreciated. There is a PayPal link in the description box and in my pinned comment below. You can also donate using Cash App. My cash tag is $Watchman1963. Thank you all so much for your prayers and support. God bless.
Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
In the Democratic campaign, Vice President Kamala Harris visited an abortion clinic in Minnesota yesterday, something no vice president or president has ever done while in office.
The horror of abortion is precisely an attack on the least of these. The unborn baby is weak and defenseless, and are the most vulnerable members of the human family. It's in the 25th chapter of Matthew that Christ foretells how he will come again in glory to judge all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Christ says to those who are on his right, who feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and go to the prisoner, that as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me, ushering them into eternal life. Those who are on the left, who are unsympathetic to the least of these, are instead told, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not enough to believe that Jesus is who he says he is if our actions don't match our words. Jesus proclaims this in Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Vice President Kamala Harris today became the first sitting vice president or president to visit an abortion clinic. The Biden campaign hopes that by putting reproductive rights front and center this election cycle, it'll motivate voters to go to the polls.
The reporter said, well, you've made history, I guess, again, because, you know, I did. But
the vice president made history with a half-hour private tour of an unassuming spot, a Planned Parenthood clinic in St. Paul.
The reason I'm here is because this is a healthcare crisis.
The clinic has seen a 25% surge in abortions since two neighboring states, along with several others, enacted full abortion bans.
And doctor, please.
Dr. Sarah Traxler is the chief medical officer.
Our new abortion landscape is difficult. It is dangerous, and it is putting my patients and healthcare providers at severe risk.
The visit was the last stop for the VP in a six-state swing that has been solely focused on reproductive rights.
These extremists, they're trying to take women back to the 1800s.
We must restore the protections of Roe.
The issue is a top focus for the Biden campaign, and here's why. 57% of Americans say the overturning of Roe v. Wade nearly 2 years ago was mostly bad for the country. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Is this the most animating issue for Democrats in your state right now?
Well, it's one of them. I think people are passionate. We're passionate people. We vote in very high numbers. But I think at the end of the day, it's the one that is most personal and feels the most threatening.
The Bible tells us in the last days that people would lack sympathetic understanding, that people would be unfeeling and pitiless toward their own family, as we read in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Without natural affection is the Greek word astorgos, which means without affection for family, parents or children, thus hard-hearted towards kindred.
I can think of nothing more hard-hearted towards kindred than those who want to murder their own child.
With so many challenges facing the country, voters may resent the fact that the Biden administration chose to go to an abortion center, not to our heavily compromised southern border, not to a grocery store where people can barely afford food, but to a place where children are killed on purpose. That's what they care about, Students for Life told CBN News.
I honestly think it's just heartbreaking to see the Vice President of the United States celebrating a clinic whose purpose is to take unborn lives. Rather than doing something concrete to help women who are facing these situations.
Regent Law Professor Aaron Hawley says many Americans would rather see the Biden administration help women keep their babies.
So instead of working to facilitate programs that help the unborn, that help mothers, like pregnancy care centers do throughout this country, instead that they're celebrating organizations that profit off of a baby's demise.
Harris's abortion clinic visit energizes pro-life voters. No other presidential administration has been as focused on promoting abortion as this one, the National Right to Life Committee said in a statement. And Americans United for Life said, we've seen pro-abortion politicians becoming increasingly brazen about their support for abortion. Kamala Harris's visit is about as bad as it gets.
Many people in our nation today exhibit insanity because God gave them over to a debased mind, and the endless, insane news headlines prove it. Romans 1:28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting,
being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
There is good news for anyone who has had an abortion, and that is that God offers forgiveness to anyone who confesses their sins, as we read in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Peter 2:24. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Chuck Schumer calls for new Israeli elections to oust Benjamin Netanyahu.
In the last days, Jerusalem will be the focal point of world politics, as we read in Zechariah 12, 2 and 3. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Scripture plainly tells us all nations, including America, will be gathered against Jerusalem in the last days. I have often wondered what could possibly cause America to turn on Israel. I believe the answer is now clear.
Undermining the Israeli government. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu leveled that charge at Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer after Schumer called for new leadership in Israel.
Schumer claimed that Netanyahu is an obstacle to peace who bows to the demands of right-wing extremists. Chris Mitchell reports from Jerusalem.
Speaking from the Senate floor Thursday, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has lost his way and called for a change in Israel's government.
By allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel, the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then.
Schumer's speech comes as a growing number of Democrats are urging the Biden administration to step up public pressure on Israel to halt its war on Hamas. Schumer charges Netanyahu's coalition consists of far-right extremists who have been too willing to tolerate the toll of the war on civilians in Gaza.
Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah.
Netanyahu responded in a statement saying, Israel expects Schumer to refrain from undermining the Israeli government. Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Michael Herzog, wrote on X, Israel is a sovereign democracy. It is unhelpful, all the more so as Israel is at war against the genocidal terror organization Hamas, to comment on the political scene of a democratic ally. Former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said, we are an independent nation, not a banana republic. Moments after Schumer spoke, congressional Republican leaders slammed his comments.
It's just plain wrong for an American leader to play such a divisive role in Israeli politics while our closest ally in the region is in an existential battle for its very survival.
The Jewish state of Israel deserves an ally that acts like one. Israel is not a colony of America whose leaders serve at the pleasure of the party in power in Washington. It is grotesque and hypocritical for Americans who hyperventilate about foreign interference in our own democracy to call for the removal of a democratically elected leader of Israel.
Senator Lindsey Graham called it earth-shattering bad and said to Schumer, you've done a lot of damage, my friend, and you need to fix this. In a more measured tone, Democratic Senator Ben Cardin said, as allies and friends, we must support the Israeli people in their efforts to shape their own destiny and chart the course of their post-war nation.
Genesis 12:1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God's foreign policy is pretty simple. If you bless Israel, you will be blessed. If you curse Israel, you will be cursed. Jesus said, as a sign of his coming and the end of the age, there would be an increase in deception, false Christs who will deceive many, wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, Christian persecution, apostasy, false prophets, and lawlessness causing the love of many to grow cold. Jesus said all of these signs would come like birth pains. Jesus was likening last day's events to a woman in labor. As the labor progresses, the pains increase in both frequency and intensity until the baby finally comes. As we get closer to Jesus' return, all the signs he gave us as a sign of his coming and the end of the age will become more frequent and more intense. All of these signs are manifesting around the world in our time.
We begin tonight with more than 40 million Americans under threat from two major storm systems. Heavy snow is falling across the Rockies with 3 feet already on the ground in parts of Colorado, causing travel nightmares at the airports and on the roads. Hundreds of flights at Denver International Airport were canceled today, and more severe and dangerous weather is sweeping across the middle of the country today, with several tornadoes touching down in Kentucky and Indiana. This funnel cloud was spotted over a small town in Kentucky. Communities are surveying the aftermath with downed trees and severely damaged homes and businesses.
Tornado on the ground.
Tonight, the severe weather threat keeps growing in the Midwest with multiple tornadoes touching down in Indiana. In Hanover, a tornado ripped through homes, causing roofs to collapse, knocking down trees and power lines.
Total destruction. The inside, yeah, everything.
In Madison, another tornado crossed the Ohio River. Video shows debris spinning in the air. In Milton, Kentucky, at least 100 structures were damaged after a tornado touchdown.
It's on the ground, it's on the ground, it's on the ground.
Last night, a supercell thunderstorm spun up a tornado as severe weather moved through Alta Vista, Kansas. Hail battered parts of northern Kansas, some hail bigger than golf balls. In Colorado, record-breaking snowfall is the problem.
God controls the skies and the rain. God controls the wind. God has power over the clouds. God has power over lightning. God is in control of all things, including the weather.
We begin, of course, with the severe weather across the heartland. A tornado outbreak overnight, leaving a trail of destruction.
At least 10 reported tornadoes touching down from Texas to Ohio. Alex Perche is going to start us off here in hard-hit Logan County, Ohio.
With the sun out, you can see what's left of this neighborhood and the destruction. Houses completely tattered, like that green one behind me. And then you've got power lines like this that look like spaghetti in the street. And for the structures that are completely demolished, the only proof that they existed is the driveway.
Oh my God. Oh no.
This morning, millions waking up to the aftermath of severe weather after reported tornadoes tore into the heartland. Overnight in central Ohio, authorities say at least three people died in Lakeview when suspected tornadoes ripped through the region. Residents there calling it pure devastation.
Our laundromat is gone. The old plastics building is just completely demolished. Downtown, it's bad. It's very bad.
Tornado on the ground.
In Winchester, Indiana, homes and structures torn apart. People searching through the night for anyone who may still be trapped.
We don't know the extent of the damage on the south end of town. We do know that there have been some buildings and homes that have been completely destroyed.
Cars mangled, power lines strewn across roads, leaving thousands in the dark. This building, unrecognizable, its metal siding wrapped around trees.
I heard what sounded like a train, and then I started hearing sirens and things like that, and then my wife had got a text from a friend that she lives in Indy and her parents live down the road and their house was gone.
In Selma, authorities there say that up to 50% of structures have been damaged.
This is the first time anything like this that I can recall has happened in the town of Selma.
And Arkansas also dealing with flooding, rain in some places as much as 5 inches.
You may have heard the phrase, God's hand of protection. It seems that it is something God would do, keep a person or nation in the shelter of his hand. It also seems logical to think that in his fierce wrath and anger that he would lift his hand. But is it biblical? Yes, it is. Jeremiah 18:7 through 10. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. In the news these days, we read about and see devastating events, each more unusual, destructive, and unprecedented than the last. They are happening more frequently and more intensely, just as the Bible said would happen just before the return of Jesus Christ. It seems as though God has lifted his hand of protection from the United States, and not just the U.S., but the world as well. These devastating events are not accidents, nor are they merely the natural cycle of things. The world is enduring events that are designed to bring about the end of days and cause us to repent. God is lifting his hand of protection from the nations of the world. No, things will never get back to normal. They will only get worse. As the birth pains continue to become more frequent and more intense, one has to wonder, how close are we to the rapture and the seven-year tribulation?
The aftermath of days of torrential rain in West Sumatra. Flash floods and landslides damaged thousands of houses earlier this week. Dozens of people died.
The water came suddenly at 4 a.m. It came out of nowhere. All my belongings were swept away. We've had floods before, but not like this.
Extreme weather events are taking hold of many parts of Indonesia as it transitions from the monsoon to the dry season. In Probolinggo in East Java, heavy rains caused a river to overflow, flooding hundreds of houses. Authorities moved affected families to temporary shelters at a government building.
We'll continue to monitor the situation because we don't know what will happen next. The extreme weather has inundated almost all areas.
And in Sukabumi in West Java, more than 100 boats and 150 houses were damaged after a tidal wave hit the coast.
I haven't gone out to sea for 10 days. When I tried, the waves were about 4 meters high, so I couldn't head out. But if I don't go fishing, I don't have any income.
Police officers are on patrol, issuing safety instructions and helping stranded residents. Anyone with a house near the beach needs to evacuate, says this officer.
The National Disaster Management Agency has urged people to be on high alert for more extreme weather events, such as heavy rainfall on the islands of Java and Kalimantan in coming days and in eastern Indonesia next week.
Natural disasters are common in Indonesia, but scientists say weather patterns are shifting as a result of climate change.
Many phenomena have never been observed before. For example, in the past 4 years, we have seen forest fires and flash floods at the same time.
Cleanup operations are underway, but before they've managed to recover from this disaster, Indonesians are already preparing for more extreme weather.
The world is baffled at the events taking place in the weather, and yet it was foretold 2,000 years ago in Bible prophecy that this would happen. Satan, the great deceiver, often tries to front-run God by giving people wrong ideas ahead of time about what is prophesied to happen. Satan has tricked mankind into believing that climate change is real, and in turn has blinded many people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Jesus said a sign of his return would be more frequent and more intense weather, as we read in Matthew 24, 7 and 8. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Pestilence is the Greek word noimos, which means a plague. Definition of a plague is any large-scale calamity, especially when thought to be sent by God. God has used plagues in the form of extreme weather in the past, and will again in the future. The seventh plague on Egypt was hail. Don't forget about the famine in Joseph's time. One of the biggest is the flood in the book of Genesis. In the future, during the seven-year tribulation, God will once again use extreme weather in the form of pestilence as judgment. In Revelation 16:21, God uses hailstones weighing 100 pounds each, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. In Revelation 16:8 and 9, God uses scorching heat. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Climate change is simply Satan's counter to Jesus' signs of his return and the end of the age. So when Jesus Christ warns us that just before his second coming, there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places, you had better believe that these occurrences are a sign from God and that he is about to intervene. Don't let Satan blind you to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The extreme weather the world has been witnessing is not climate change. It is God letting us know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is returning.
Here on Okinawa, amphibious carriers are landing on a beach to simulate a raid to take back an island.
These are American vehicles rolling off a Japanese hovercraft.
Japan and the U.S. expanding joint military drills to hone close coordination between forces.
These drills happen fast. They're already heading back out to sea.
And for the first time, the exercise called Iron Fist said to name China as the hypothetical enemy. Though the threat is real, says the U.S. ambassador to Japan, Rahm Emanuel.
What is it that China is doing that is creating this potential for conflict?
Well, they're in conflict with everybody. There is no country in the region they're not in some kind of small, very small K kinetic problem with. An untethered, unanchored China is destabilizing China.
With Japan facing its gravest security threat in decades, spending billions on American stealth fighter jets and cruise missiles to defend against China, but also Russia and North Korea. A key part of Japan's strategy involves fortifying an island chain with missile systems and a new military base that U.S. aircraft would use too, creating a wall centered around Taiwan, limiting China's access to the Western Pacific. China's claims over most of the disputed South China Sea are causing friction, with close encounters involving Chinese ships and aircraft. The U.S. transforming its presence, too.
We're the permanent Pacific power, and you can bet long on America.
For years, these drills were held in the U.S., and last year moved here as deterrence and a message that Japan is readying to fight.
Jesus, speaking to his disciples about the signs of his coming and the end of the age, declares this in Matthew 24:12, "And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. The Bible tells us lawlessness is the violation of God's commandments, as we read in 1 John 3:4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Sin will be so rampant and so commonplace in the last days that the love people once had for one another, for many, will be non-existent. In this prophecy, Jesus Christ is describing an ongoing breakdown in the relationship with God. And since people's love for God is waning, it will be evident in the way people treat one another as well. A symptom may be that the love toward other people is decreasing, but the real cause is that the relationship with God is cooling off. This is what we are witnessing in our world today.
Now to the subway shooting. Passengers were frightened. A man shot with his own gun. Ariel Reshef joins us live outside the New York City subway where it all happened.
That happened during rush hour. Just to set the scene, that packed subway car full of passengers, when a fight broke out, it escalated into gunfire, causing chaos and panic, and much of that was caught on camera.
This morning, harrowing cell phone video capturing rush hour mayhem as gunfire rang out in the New York City subway. Terrified passengers ducking for cover Thursday evening, huddled together, screaming in horror in this crowded downtown Brooklyn station.
Close the door! Close the door!
As I'm coming out, you hear pops, like three or four shots, pop, pop, pop. Then the doors open. Everybody come flying out.
Police say chaos erupted around 5 p.m. after a fight on a train car. Passengers seen here trying to break up the situation, but the altercation only escalating.
He then took that firearm, started walking toward the 32-year-old who was on the train, yelling at him. Walking toward him in a menacing way.
The 32-year-old man grabbing the weapon, shooting his attacker in the head.
Shots fired in transit, active shooter sent in, shots fired in transit.
This video showing the wounded man taken away on a stretcher, rushed to a nearby hospital in critical condition.
For this terrifying incident happening just days after Governor Kathy Hochul sent the National Guard into the subway system to patrol here amid a 13% increase in subway crime so far this year.
Daniel 12, 9 and 10. And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Just as Daniel was told to shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end, the Apostle John was told, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Revelation 22, 10 and 11. And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." The signs of Jesus' soon return are so strong now, and the evidence is so clear, that any person willing to accept the truth can see that the end of the world as we know it is near. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. These are the ABCs of salvation. A. Admit that you're a sinner. B. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and God raised him from the dead. C. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. Jesus paid the price for mankind's sin. He has provided a way to spend eternity with him and the Father. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. God has already done all the work. All you must do is receive, in faith, the salvation God offers. Fully trust in Jesus alone as the payment for your sins. Believe in him, and you will not perish. God is offering you salvation as a gift. All you have to do is accept it. Jesus is the only way of salvation. That being said, we must repent of our sins. While repentance is not a work that earns salvation, repentance unto salvation does result in works. It is impossible to truly and fully change your mind without that causing a change in action. In the Bible, repentance results in a change in behavior. Repentance, properly defined, is necessary for salvation.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
Time is short. Call upon the name of Jesus today.